Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quotivation Podcast, and I'm glad you're here, and I hope you've had a wonderful weekend and you are ready to start your week off strong in a way that's going to help you to win your week this week. You know, I say that every week, and I know a lot of times people are like, win your week? What does that even mean? I think winning your week is being inspired to do something, above what you would normally do to reach your goals. Now you may say, goals? I don't know that I have any goals. Well, maybe that's what you need to do this week. Maybe you need to establish the things that you want to achieve, that you want to accomplish, so that you can win your week and take a step forward to achieving those goals. Now, that's not always easy. We shouldn't make goals just for the sake of making goals. They should be things that we have a passion for, that we have a drive to do, something that inspires us, that motivates us, a reason to get out of the bed in the morning even. What are the things we're going to do this week that are going to get us closer to achieving the things that we want to achieve? Now, what that is and how you get there is totally up to you. They're your goals. I can't tell you what those should be. But what I can tell you is that when you're setting goals, always think about the things that are going to make you better tomorrow than you are today. The things that are going to bring you joy, the things that you think are going to bring the world something positive to share with everyone. Those are the things that you go after. Those are the goals that you set. And that's what you should be inspired to do when you're aiming to win your week. And so I hope this week you can win your week. And I hope you can start that right here on the Quotivation Podcast. So let's get started. Let's start winning the week right now. We'll start this week off like we do every episode with a shot of motivation. And this week, our shot of motivation is, of course, sponsored by Amy Real from Fairway Mortgage. Amy is the real deal in all things mortgage. Now, you can ask her about the special that they're running that you can still get cash guaranteed. Guaranteed cash. How can you beat that? That program will make you a cash offer to buy your home if it doesn't sell before the allotted time period. And that way you know that you have a sale pending and there's no need to do the contingencies. So frustrating when you're trying to buy a house. It's like, well, is my house going to sell before I buy their house? What's going to happen? This awesome program, this cash guarantee program from Fairway Mortgage, will eliminate all of that. So give Amy a call today. Her phone number, 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can email her at amy.real, R-E-I-H-L, at fairwaymc.com. She's Amy Real, and she is the real deal for all things mortgage. And her NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, Amy, thanks for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
There's always a constant struggle at our house. It usually comes around the time of 5 or 6 p.m. Because we are not ones to cook. Cooking is not a joy for myself or for my wife. And so we go out to eat a lot. And the question always comes, what are we going to do for dinner tonight? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. What are you in the mood for? I don't know. I feel like I should open a restaurant that's called I Don't Know, because everyone will want to come there. What do you want to eat? I don't know. Let's go. But it's a question. It's a conversation that always happens in our house. And it usually leads to a decision that no one's really happy about. And it happened the other day. It's real funny. I'm going to tell this story and I'll probably get in trouble for it. That's okay. My wife asked me, she says, well, where do you want to go? I don't know. What would you like? And, oh, here we go again. She says, I'm going to name four places. And she named her four places. She says, pick one of those. So I pick one. She says, oh, okay. I said, well, wait a minute. Oh, okay is not the right answer. Let's pick another one. How about we go here? Oh, well, all right. Well, that one obviously wasn't the right answer. Right? How do you feel about going to this third option? Yeah, we can do that. So then finally, we end up going to the fourth option because in the end, that's where she wanted to go to begin with. I think a lot of times we do this. We don't express the things that we desire, the things that we want to do or want to say. I don't know if it's sometimes it can be a fear of being rejected. Sometimes it can be a fear of worrying about what other people think when we express the things that we want to express. And so we hold back. And we pretend like it really doesn't matter. We can do whatever. We can go wherever we want to eat. It doesn't matter if you put Sally on that project instead of me. It's not like I've been preparing for it for 6 months. It happens all the time. And we tend to allow that to happen because we don't want to speak up. We don't want to express our desires. We don't want to express what it is that we truly want. Because what if it's not what the other person wants? What if it's something that I put out there and someone shuts it down and rejects me right away? You're never going to get what you want until you go get what you want. And whether that's expressing it through words or through actions, whatever it is, if there is a desire in your heart and you want to achieve something, you want to accomplish a goal, you want to work on a project, or you just simply want to go eat at this particular restaurant, say it, express it, go get it. Because if we hold back, number one, no one's going to know what it is that we actually want. No one is a mind reader. We can't tell. We can't pick up on the signals every single time. So express what it is that you want. And then number two, you'll make your intentions perfectly clear. And so that there is no question what you want to achieve. And whether you achieve it or not is not necessarily the point. The point is that you'll never wonder what would have happened if I had just said what I wanted to say. Don't let failure stop you. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let the feeling of not wanting to rock the boat stop you from expressing what it is that you want. Because no one knows your desires. No one knows what you want to do other than you until it's expressed. So be decisive and go get what you want. And that's how you can win your week this week. I hope you're able to take this and apply it to a situation in your life where you can say, I want to do this. And then you take the steps to do it. That's how you win your week. And I hope you're able to do that this week. I want to thank Amy Real for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Nick Smith, the Rebel Ninja, is an award-winning professional presenter, corporate trainer, life coach, and disability advocate with his unique life experience and the wisdom he's gained as a person with a disability who has not let anything stop him. He aims to activate, impact, and move all those who enter his sphere of influence. He specializes in disability awareness, growth mindset, and creating your own reality. He's the man who you call to break down barriers, build bridges, or learn some salsa dancing. Please welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Nick Smith. Nick, how are you, buddy?
Good, and you? Thanks for having me, Jody.
Absolutely, man. Doing great. I'm looking forward to this conversation. This has been one that has just been, oh, I couldn't wait to get to this because, I mean, first of all, I could use a little salsa dancing tips and tricks because, you know, two left feet, that's where I'm at here.
Okay, no worries. We can work with that. I've got a left foot that doesn't really listen to me. So,
well, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about what you do, the presentations that you do, your passion, your advocacy for disability awareness. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay, cool. So I am a person with a disability as a result of a car accident that I was involved in when I was 6 months old. So I was a baby.
Wow.
And as a result of the car accident, I have what's called cerebral palsy with hemiplegia. Hmm. Now, for those who are listening to this, if you don't know what that is, don't panic. I'm going to explain. The damage sustained in the car accident was brain damage, and that affected the right-hand side of my brain. On the right-hand side of my body, my fingers, my toes, everything works perfectly. Mm-hmm. As you see, I'm wiggling them and stuff like that. However, on my left, I don't have any fine motor control. So I can move my arms and my legs and stuff, but I can't wriggle my toes or move my fingers, as you can see here. So I'm trying to wriggle my fingers, guys, but I can't. And that's because I don't have those fine motor skills. Mm-hmm. Hence why I can move and I can walk, but I walk with a gangster limp because I'm cool like that.
That's how you roll, brother. Yeah, that's how you roll. You know,
and I've got a rogue arm that sometimes does its own thing.
Could be fun because, you know, you could just be frustrated with someone and pow. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was
just
my I'm rogue sorry. Arm. Yeah, you know. that's gotten me into trouble once or twice.
I'm sure.
That's the the start of my journey, right? Mm-hmm. And I always say that my disability is my greatest weakness, mm-hmm. but it's also my greatest strength, because Ooh. It always pushes me forward. When I was young, people often said to me, "You can do this," or "You can't do this," and it was as a result of my disability, right? Mm-hmm. You only have one hand. How can you do that? And I was like, "Okay, cool. You say I can't do it. I'm going to do it anyway." Yeah. Or I saw those as a challenge, right?
Sure.
And when I was, I think in my early to mid 20s, someone said to me, "Nick, you know, you've achieved so much in your life already. You don't need to prove it to anybody anymore." And so then a kind of a mind shift happened where I was like, I still need to prove it, but not as intensely as it was before. Mm-hmm. And it was now moving into a space of me doing the things that I love for myself and pushing myself for personal growth and personal development, and not necessarily just to prove other people wrong.
Right.
And then in my, let's say, mid 30s, I think it was about 34, 35, I had my midlife crisis, because I'm a little bit ahead of the curve, you know? So I was like, have I reach my potential, or am I doing what I'm meant to be doing in this world? Why was I placed on this, you know, planet? Why have I gone through all of this? Why did I survive that car accident? Because the chances of survival were like 0.2, and I survived.
Wow.
So, you know, through all the difficulties that I've experienced, why? And then it came to me that I've been placed on this planet, and I've walked the journey that I have to empower others and to help people realize their potential, realize their purpose, and also obviously create their own reality. Because I feel like a lot of people are held back. And funny enough, it's not external things that are holding them back. Even though if you ask them, they'll say, yeah, this is holding me back, or that's holding me back, or whatever. If you get to the root of it, it's actually their own self-belief,
yeah,
or their own limiting beliefs that are holding them back.
Absolutely.
Now, if you can tap into those and you can be like, okay, so I see that, but have you seen it like this? Or I see that as a challenge, but have you flipped it on its head and seen it like that? And that's what I do constantly. With my life that I've lived, I realized that I am a growth mindset like ninja. You know, I live growth mindset. I push myself each and every day. There's the concept of Kaizen, which is 1% improvement every day. And although I don't always stick to that, I'm always pushing myself to develop, to push myself out of that, you know, comfort zone.
Sure.
To develop things.
It's interesting. I love that you said that you went from proving that you can do things to everyone else to proving things to yourself. What caused that shift, and how did that impact you, like your outlook on what you do and your demeanor and your mental health, going from having to outwardly prove things to other people to this is more about my life and about who I am.
That rests a lot in like what I call the locus of control. So realizing or understanding that you are in control of a lot of the aspects of your life. And so, you know, answering your question, I found it empowering, because I wasn't proving to other people. I want to do this, and guess what? I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I hated, and I still do, the whole what if thing. So if ever it's what if I do this, so I do it.
Yeah.
Because I like to know, I like to experience, and I like to learn and say, okay, I did this and it worked, or I did this and it didn't work, and then reframe, you know? And that's what I think the shift happened is, you know, that guy said to me, you don't need to prove it to anyone anymore. So that was the step one. And then from there, it was like, okay, but I still want to do this, and I'm still doing it, but now I'm not doing it to prove Frank right or Jane right or whatever, or to, you know, to prove him wrong, but I'm now doing it for myself. So it's like, you know, salsa dancing as an example. I've been dancing for like 19, 20 years. And when I started, people were like, you, that's crazy. And I was like, I love music and I'm going to do it. And yes, I have to think of things differently. Yes, I have to, you know, that's where they start, that's where they end. And I need to fill in the blanks in my own way. But the thing is, I get it done. And for me, that was like, cool. You know, I did that. I didn't do it the way that everyone's doing it, but I did it the way that I can do it. And it was a success. Yeah. And then it almost became like a drug, right? Is like a self-empowerment drug, where you're like, I did this, I did a thing. And then you want to do another thing. And you're like, oh my gosh, I did a thing. And then when things start working and start connecting, because I'm also a believer in, you know, the energy that you put out into the universe, it like resonates back. Okay. And so if you think of that and you think, I'm going to challenge things and I'm going to be self-empowered, then those kind of things boost you up and you start seeing opportunities more than barriers.
Yeah. And how different is the fulfillment when you accomplish something that you want to accomplish and you prove to yourself versus doing it for other people? I would imagine there's just a vast difference in how fulfilled and how excited you are to be able to do, to achieve something for yourself versus, well, I just want to show everyone else.
The difference isn't that great, but I think the key difference is the length, right? If you prove someone wrong, it's quite fleeting, because you're like, okay, I need to prove Jody wrong. And then I prove Jody wrong. Cool.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? It's like, I've done it. Take it
right.
off.
Right.
Whereas if you do it for yourself and you live with yourself and you're like, I made that thing happen and I did it for no one else but me, it has greater value and it lasts longer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. So you are known as the Rebel Ninja. Tell me how you got that moniker. What does that mean?
So I created it during my speaker development journey. And It ties into my history and everything, which is obviously, as a person with a disability, people always told me you can and you can't do something.
Right.
And then I was like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. So that's where the rebel came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then ninja, because in my family, like my brother and I, we were like, dude, you did that like a ninja, you know? And like the other reason is, because ninjas are quite sneaky, right? One moment they're there and then the next moment they're not. And if you think about it, that's what I'm like. As a person with a disability, you don't think I'm going to play pool. And then one moment I'm sitting on the edge, the next moment I'm playing league pool. Boom.
Yeah.
You think that I'm not going to be a dancer, and then all of a sudden I'm dancing advanced moves.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that rebelliousness and then the ninja part come together, and that makes the rebel ninja.
I love that. That is fantastic. It's so great too for a presenter or a speaker to have kind of the story behind the title, right? And it's not just, oh yeah, well, I thought it sounded cool. Yeah. It actually speaks to who you are. It speaks to what you do. Nick, tell me a little bit about advocacy for people with disabilities. What is the message that you want to resonate for people who are trying to understand what the message should be?
I think there are two sides to that. Mm-hmm. The first is, let's talk to people without disabilities. I think in terms of disability advocacy, I think the first point is anybody can do anything. Mm-hmm. So don't put barriers on the people without getting to know them. In the line of work that I do with corporates, we integrate people with disabilities meaningfully into corporate spaces. Okay. And often when we talk to the corporates, they're like, okay, we put them in the call center. And you're like, he's an engineer. You've put him in the call center. And that's just because they didn't take the time to learn his capabilities. They're like, okay, he's a person with a disability, so that's what he's, capable of.
Yeah.
And then the second big thing that comes up in our advocacy is, we call it hashtag just ask.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are scared. A lot of people don't know how to interact. Yeah. And us as people with disabilities, we often know that, right? We pick it up or we've experienced it before. And so if you ask us, like, can I help you? Or what happened? Or is this okay? Or, can I do this for you? Then we will answer. And then it makes any future interactions a whole lot easier, because you'll also learn more. And then it'll create that like knock-on effect, right? And I think that's really important, because that dialogue is where the magic happens. Because also that's breaking down those barriers, where you might not have spoken to a person with a disability before. Now you're interacting with them. It's not a once off. It's like he said no because I thought he needed help, but actually he can do it himself. So I think that's the one side, is don't put them in boxes without getting to know them, or at least finding out a bit about them. And then the hashtag just ask. And then for a person with a disability, it kind of ties into that. And that is, you are stronger than you think, and you can do more than you think.
Yeah.
And that's where my coaching comes in. Because when I coach, I aim to activate, impact, and move. Because often the case is with society and with other external pressures and even self-belief, people with disabilities often find themselves disempowered. And my coaching kind of helps them re-empower themselves and realize that, I can do this and I can do that and I can have dreams and I can, have wants, and this can be a reality. And I think that's the most important thing for them, is like, be empowered and live life.
That's powerful. That's powerful. I love that. There is a young man that is in our local area. He's kind of a local celebrity. He is with supports and helps. He's the equipment trainer for the Clemson University American football team.
Oh, cool.
I had to say American football because you're in South Africa. Yeah. And if I said football, you would be thinking what I call soccer, I'm sure.
Yeah.
but he is an amazing young man and has Down syndrome. And his name is David Seville. And I heard David speaking to the team one time, giving this incredible, impassioned, motivational speech. And the line that he said that has stuck with me, he said, the only disability is a bad attitude.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And he said it with such passion. And you could tell that he felt it and he's lived it. And I love that. And it's just powerful. And it sounds a lot like the message and the coaching that you provide is that it's mindset, right? And you say it in your material, it's mindset. It's changing the mindset and envisioning the things that are really possible.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, tell me a little bit about wanting to get to that message into the States, wanting to expand. What's the vision for the Rebel Ninja? What are you looking to achieve in the next 5 years? And how can people be on the lookout for the Rebel Ninja? And what does that look like for you?
Cool. Thanks so much for asking. For me, it is about empowering people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So I can coach both people with and people without, but I find that my message and my relatability and everything resonates with people with disabilities. And I think the change that I see in people's lives is more impactful with people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And so I am currently coaching two people in America via Zoom, and I want to grow that to 20 people. So 20 individuals. And also I want to offer group coaching. I'm currently coaching one group twice a month. And I'm actually just starting with another group next month. I had my discovery call with them yesterday. Nice. And I want to escalate that as well. So I want to be having 20 individuals coached by me and then in America. And then I would say 4 to 5 group coaching sessions. Mm-hmm. And really like impacting them, you know. Yeah. My coaching isn't about, you know, motivation and like, you know, quick hits. It's like, oh, you're here, now you can go, and then you go back to life. It's like, get your motivation, get mm-hmm. your inspiration, and mm-hmm. then do something. So yeah. I often coach with what I call invest work. Mm. So you know, we've done this, we've talked about this, now your invest work is to go and do that.
Yeah.
And that's going to make you grow, that's going to make change, and that's going to make things happen. And then when you do that, you'll see the knock-on effects and it's like, okay, cool. Then you can do this. And so that's what I want to do, is I want to coach people both individually and in groups in America. And my other plan that I've got on my vision board, which is right here, is it says there, American tour.
Yes. Because
that's what I want to do. I want to do a coaching tour and meet the people that I've coached.
Amazing.
So I coach currently people, and we were actually talking about this off air, is, you know, in New York, New Jersey, California. And so I'm going to take off like a month, and I'm just going to like travel the US and be like, hi, nice to chat to you. And then do my group sessions in person and, yes. you know, have a whole like dynamic session. So yeah, that's my plan.
That's amazing. There's a lot of space between New York and New Jersey and California. So a lot of people that need help from the Rebel Ninja. And so Nick, tell folks how, if they're interested in coaching, and when you say coaching, is this life coaching? Is it business specific? What's really the driver there?
So it's interesting that you asked that, because I was on a radio station last week, mm-hmm. and I gave him my bio and my story and background. And then he said, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Nick Smith, the Rebel Ninja, a personal development coach. And I was like, boom, that's it. You know, my shift now is I'm not just a life coach. I'm a personal development coach. I can coach people with businesses, mm-hmm. but I don't do business coaching. I do mindset coaching. I do personal development coaching. I do empowerment coaching. You know, if you are stuck, I want to help you. If you want to grow, I want to help you. If you want to achieve something, but you're not exactly sure of the steps, mm-hmm. that's my realm of expertise.
Wonderful. And it sounds like then what you can get from the Rebel Ninja is something that you can apply to your personal life, to your business, to your job, to your volunteer work, to your community service, to every aspect in your life. And so it's not just specific to one thing. It is a holistic approach to changing your mindset. Yeah. And that's what the Rebel Ninja will offer you. Nick, how do they get in touch with you? How can we gain this perspective in coaching?
So I think the easiest way would be to drop me an email at nick@therebelninja.com.
Love that.
Or visit my website, www.therebelninja.com.
Awesome.
I'm on Facebook quite a lot because of my coaching. So if they want to look up The Rebel Ninja on Facebook and on Instagram, they can drop me a message there and I'll get back to them.
Fantastic. And folks, that all of that information, those links will be in our episode recap that you can click on the comments, or you can, if you're listening to this on a podcast service, check out the episode recap and you will see how to get in touch with Nick Smith, The Rebel Ninja. And what I want to do now, Nick, because this is a great transition, a great time to transition, I want to hear this quote. This quote is powerful in and of itself, but your story with this quote, I can't wait to dive in. So tell us the quote, who said it, and why is this quote so inspiring for you?
Okay. My quote is, "The greatest risk is not taking one," and it's by Tim Fargo.
And tell us why this quote is literally emblazoned on your body. Folks, this is the first guest I've ever had that has the quote tattooed on their body. Tell us about this, Nick.
So the quote, I'll explain the quote before I explain that tattoo. But the quote for me embodies my message and reminds me, and that's why it's tattooed on my chest, tattooed by my heart, is because the greatest risk is not taking one, right? So live life every day. Remember, I told you earlier on this episode, I hate the what if.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting there and you're going, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take the risk, right? And then learn from it. So because the greatest risk is not taking one. Because if you do something, something can happen. Whether it's positive or negative, you've made something happen. And either way, you can grow from it, right? If it's positive, you can grow. If it's negative, you can grow. If it's positive, you can do it more. If it's negative, you can reflect on it and change it.
Sure.
And so, like, that's why it's so empowering for me, is because it reminds me, yes, this is a little bit scary. Yes, you're stepping out of your comfort zone, or you're growing your comfort zone. And yes, things might go wrong, but do it anyway. Because you're going to be empowered.
What happens, you think, because you said taking that risk, something is going to happen, positive or negative. And we can take from that whatever it is. If it's negative, we learn from it. If it's positive, we grow it and develop it, nurture it. What happens to the person that says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take a risk.
I have two things to say to that.
Okay.
The first is, I love Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek talks about, he hates the word failure and he replaces it with falling. And I love that. And I've grown that in my coaching. And I refer to it quite often, because if you think, I'm going to take the risk, I'm going to fail, I'm like, cool. But now let's reframe that. If you take the risk, you might fall. Now, the reason why there's such a shift there is, if you fall, you are going to get up, guaranteed. Okay. It just depends how long, on the severity of the fall. Okay. Sure. So if you trip, you're going to get up quickly. If you fall and break something, you're going to get up just slower. Okay. You're going to get up with assistance. You're going to get up on your own. But the point is, you're going to get up, right? Okay. So that's the first thing, is people often view failure as, oh, it's over and I'm done. It's not the case. So if you fall, okay, I've fallen, so get back up. Yeah, take your time, learn from it or whatever, but get back up. And then the second is, often when we fail, we don't want to look back, right? Because I failed, it's in the past, it's a sore point for me. But if you fall, you often look back, like instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you trip over something, what's the first thing you do?
Just see what it is I tripped over. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, why? Why do we do that? It's because we want to learn from that. And we want to go, okay, I'm going to miss that again. Like, wow. If I'm walking this path again, I'm going to miss that thing because I don't want that to happen again. So now think of it in that frame of mind. Again, failing, you don't want to reflect, but now falling, I'm going to look back at what I've experienced and not succeeded at, but I'm going to look back and reflect on it and grow from it.
Yeah.
So that's the failing versus falling. And then the other aspect is so that you can empower yourself and take that action, because action is so important. Like, people get frozen in fear, right? They don't want to take that. So face your fear and do something. Now, often people say to me, oh, but I can't do that thing because it's so big. So I'm like, okay, cool. So start taking what I call small risks. Mm-hmm. You know, you get different types of risks. You get emotional small risks. You get psychological small risks. You get academic small risks. You get a whole bunch of different types. And that could be, for example, like, if one of your big goals is to get on air and do a podcast, then that's a big goal that's super scary. So do a small one. Go and interview a friend. Or go and chat to a friend. That's a small risk. Yep. You're stepping out. And what I also always refer to in my coaching is people often think of, and there are a lot of Facebook quotes and stuff like this, where your comfort zone is here and success is there, and you need to jump out of your comfort zone to reach success. Now, I don't agree with that at all. My whole concept is you need to grow and expand your comfort zone until it reaches success. Now, that's not so exciting, because it's like if you win the lotto, you've jumped. Okay. You've gone from your comfort zone to amazing. Now, that feels great, but are you prepared? Honestly, you're not. Yeah. A lot of people who win the lotto end up back where they were, because they weren't prepared. However, if you slowly grow your comfort zone to envelop your success, when you get there, A, you're prepared, and B, you've grown psychologically, mentally, and everything to accept that success and push yourself further.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because I love that concept of growing the comfort zone. And as a speaker, you know this. Of course, public speaking is the greatest fear. It's higher than death, right?
Yeah.
How do you, people ask me all the time, how do I become a great speaker? Well, speak.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have, there's no magic bullet. You just have to.
Absolutely.
And so when you grow your comfort zone, it's not like you're quote unquote jumping out of it to do this one thing one time and it's growing. No, it has to be a consistent over and over, persistent working at whatever it is that's uncomfortable until it's comfortable.
Yeah. So I have to link to that. So my left arm, remember I told you that it sometimes does its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in primary school and I gave speeches, as I was speaking, my left arm would literally raise on its own and start rising. And it would literally sit almost shoulder level while I'm speaking. And I wouldn't even realize. It would just start slowly elevating itself. And then at the end of the speech, I'd have to take my right hand and like literally hold it and push it down. And then I had to walk off, you know, like this, because it was so tight that it was like, oh my gosh. Now that's not normal. And like, people are like, okay, he's speaking. Now you would think that dude's never going to be a public speaker because of that. But it's exactly what you're saying. Like, over time, I got comfortable with it. Over time, I learned, okay, this is what I need to do before and things like that. So now when I speak, yes, my hand might raise a little bit, but it's definitely not like, you know, flying in the air.
Right.
And so that's also part of that, like, growth and putting yourself out there and facing the challenges and, you know, meeting them and overcoming.
Yeah. For me, it was the voice. I would get nervous speaking, and my voice would shake like this, and it would sound real weird. And so, you know, when I got married, I've been married to my wife we just celebrated 27 years. So 27 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it tells you how old I am. But I'm not turning 40 this year. You can add one more digit to that first digit. But I digress. at our wedding, you know, you say your vows, and so I was just trembling, Nick. I was so just scared, and my voice was quivering, and people were coming up to me afterwards. Said, that was so sweet. You were so emotional. You were caught up in your emotions. Like, I wasn't emotional. I was scared to death. No. And that was my thing. It was overcoming that so much nervousness that it caused me to physically shake.
Yeah.
And now when I step on stage, and, you know, back then the thought of stepping on stage in front of a few hundred people would just like there, you would have to like gouge my eye. I would rather you gouge my eyes out than to do that. But now it's not nearly as daunting. Now the nerves are still there, but the voice doesn't quiver, right? You learn how to use the nervousness and you turn it into energy and suddenly you're just this dynamic speaker on stage. And now I'm just getting the energy out. Right.
Yeah.
But it took practice. It took time, repetitions over and over doing it. That's the only way we grow that comfort zone.
Yep.
Which is powerful. And the only way to grow that comfort zone is to take the risks.
Yeah.
And that comes back to your quote. Nick, I want to ask you a question. So one of the things that I really want for my audience is for them to win their week. And that's every episode is like, I want you to win your week. This is really why I started the podcast, is that I want people to be able to take some inspiration and do something this week that's going to just help them grow their comfort zone and win their week, right? So if we're thinking about this quote, how can you tell someone who may be struggling with deciding on what to do, if they should take that job, or if they should invest in that their time into that charity, or if they should really focus on something they're passionate about, but they're scared? How can they take this quote and kind of overcome that and win their week?
Okay. So the first part is, I understand that you might be afraid, might be scared, and there's a reason for that, right? So you need to understand that reason first. So like, why are you afraid? Are you afraid because you might risk social ridicule? Are you afraid because if you fail, it's going to affect your family? So getting to the root cause and then voicing those to yourself, or writing those down, or speaking to those that are affected and go like, I want to do this, but I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
I want to do this, but if this happens, what are we going to do? And talking through those often helps calm that nervousness down and that fear, because hold on, it's not actually as big as I thought.
Right.
And then again, like I said, taking a small risk, taking a smaller version of that. So for example, if you are wanting to become an entrepreneur and you're thinking like, okay, I'm going to quit my job. That's what they were. No, quit my job today, be an entrepreneur tomorrow. I'm like, whoa. Let's not do that. Let's run them parallel first.
Yeah.
And like check it out. Right. And then see how it goes. And then once it's happening, then when they reach each other, like, you know, in terms of like finances or whatever, then you can make a decision to make that. But don't just do a jump, right? Again, going back to growing your comfort zone as opposed to like just jumping.
Right.
So thinking about the influences and thinking about the impacts and talking to those people. And then another tool that I really recommend, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but so if you do want to know more about this, just drop me a message. But it's called a PNI, positive, negative, and improve. Okay. It comes from Edward de Bono. Edward de Bono's version was PMI, which is plus, minus, and interesting. Okay. I've reflected on it and grown it to suit my coaching. So it's positive, negative, and improve. And so if you're looking to make any decision, that's what you need to think about. What are the positives of making this decision? What are the potential negatives of taking this decision? And then what is it going to improve? Okay. Then importantly, and a lot of people don't do this step, is split that page in half. And the top half is, if I do this, this is the positive, this is the negative, and this is the improve. However, the second half, the bottom half, is, what if I don't do this?
Ooh.
What are the positives? What are the negatives? And what can improve?
Yes. I love that. Just looking at the other side of the coin, and you're right. I think in an analysis situation, and it's true in business, it's true in life, it's true in any kind of decision we make, we are so caught up in what happens when we do this that we don't analyze, well, what happens if we don't? Powerful stuff, man. That is why He is the Rebel Ninja. And if you want to get in touch with Nick, email him at nick@therebelninja.com. Go to his website, www.therebelninja.com, and follow him on social media, on his Facebook, Instagram, connect with him on LinkedIn. Let's get this guy over here into the States and give him a full tour of America. Woo-hoo. We want him to have clients from New York to California, not just in New York and California. Let's fill it up. Let's fill in that gap for him so that he can come on tour and see the States and stop by and see me in person. Give you a reason to come down to South Carolina. And he is a powerful, powerful personal development coach and definitely an advocate for people with disabilities. And as I understand it, a fantastic salsa dancer, which, you know, is there video? Like, can we look this up, Nick? I mean, can we find something?
I don't think so.
Not that you know of, right?
No, but that's going to be the second reason why I need to come to the States, right?
Yes.
I'll come and jam there, and then you can see me in action.
Come on down, and come on up, since you're in South Africa. Come on up. We'll do some salsa dancing, and we will take a tour of the country, let you find out how beautiful it is here. He is the Rebel Ninja. Nick, thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Me too. Thanks so much, Jody.
Well, that was Nick Smith, the Rebel Ninja. And I want to thank Nick for joining us on the Quotivation Podcast and bringing a fantastic quote from Tim Fargo: "The greatest risk is not taking one." Nick loves this quote so much, lives by this quote so much, he had it tattooed, emblazoned right on him, right above his heart, because it means so much to him. And that is taking a risk. And it certainly has paid off for the Rebel Ninja. So if you want to check out Nick and more information from him, follow him on social media. You can check him out on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. All you got to do is search for Nick Smith. It's S-M-I-T. There's no H at the end of it. Or you can search for the Rebel Ninja. Follow him. And hey, let's get him over stateside. Let's get him over here so we can experience what it's like to be in the presence of the Rebel Ninja. Thank you, Nick, for being on the show. And hey, before we do that, I think we've got time for just a little bit of dessert. It's time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
What a great conversation with the Rebel Ninja, Nick Smith. Just found him to be just an incredible personality, so easy to talk to, and such a powerful, powerful story of survival. And not only survival, but taking that survival and growing how it's used to improve others, to empower others. Nick talked about his journey to understand the why behind surviving a car accident where, against all odds, he lived through it. And he said what he found was that he was put here on this earth to empower others and to help people realize their potential and create their own reality. Early on, Nick mentioned the Kaizen concept, and this Kaizen concept is a powerful word. The word actually in Japanese means improvement. And the concept is to improve by 1% every single day. And it doesn't sound like a lot of improvement. It doesn't sound like a lot of growth. But if you think about it, over the course of 100 days, you're twice as better as you were when you started. It's 100% improvement. Over the course of the year, you're 37 times better than you were. That's taking a risk. That's setting out a commitment to recognize, number one, that we're not as good as we can be. I think that's a realization that a lot of us need to make. Sometimes we get satisfied with who we are and how good we are at something. And maybe we have a God-given talent or we've worked on something really hard to develop a skill. And we think, ha, I'm finally really good at this. You know what? This is good enough. If you think it's good enough, you're not nearly as good as you thought you were. Everyone needs to improve. Everyone needs to grow. That's why professional athletes put in so much practice. They've arrived. They're playing at the highest level. And yet they practice more than most of us even think about practice. Because they recognize that you constantly have to be improving. So the Kaizen concept, improvement, 1% improvement every single day. If you average that out over the course of 100 days, you're going to be twice as better than you ever were. But you have to be willing to take the risks. And that's the quote that Nick brought to us. The greatest risk is not taking one, it's being complacent. Nick also talked about how he took the concept from Simon Sinek about reimagining, rethinking, failing, and reframing it to falling. And I love that thought process. I love what how Nick really expanded on this concept that if you fall, usually what happens is you get back up. And depending on the severity of the fall, it may take a little while. If you're injured, if you got the wind knocked out of you, whatever it is, you might need to rest for a minute. You might need to recover from that. But you get back up. And if we think about failure as falling, we never let failure keep us down. We always get back up. It can take time. It depends on what we failed at and how severe it is, all of that. But we get back up. The second thing that you do, that you don't always do when you fail, but when you fall, you turn around to see what in the world just happened. How did that happen? Why did I fall? What did I trip over? Am I just clumsy? That's probably the conclusion I would come to. But we want to know why. We want to know why we fell. We want to be able to explain why we fell. Oh, there's black ice on the sidewalk. You know, the driveway was slippery. My feet just came right out from under me. I tripped over that root sticking up out of the ground. What caused us to fall? We want to learn so that the next time there's ice on the sidewalk or we're walking the path where the root is, we'll be careful not to fall over the same thing. When we fail and we get back up and we try again, we should learn why we failed the first time and take measures to make sure it's not the reason that we fail this time. Nick also talked about building your tolerance for risk. It's not about getting out of your comfort zone. It's about growing your comfort zone. He used a great analogy when he said, you know, it's like when you win the lottery, you jumped. You jumped from where you were financially to a much higher plane. And the real question is, are you prepared for that? Instead of growing it day by day until you reach your success. So it's about building your tolerance for risk. Don't come out of the gate ready to take a risk, deciding to take a risk in your life and do like the giant risk. Take smaller risks. Take smaller steps. It takes time to build your tolerance to get to the point where you're doing things that you never thought you would do. And then Nick gave us great advice on how to win our week. Discover why we fear the risk. Voice them. Write them down. Talk about them. And then make the list, the P&I list that he used. Positive, negatives, and improve. Identify the positives. Write down the negatives. And then write down what it's going to improve if you decide to do this, if you decide to take a risk. That's great. A lot of us would think to do that as we're analyzing whether we should or we shouldn't. But I loved what he said. The second half of this is that not a lot of people do. Do the same exercise in terms of what if I don't take this risk? What's going to happen? What are the positives of me not taking the risk? What are the negatives? And is it going to improve my life and the lives of those around me not to take the risk, not to do the thing that I'm thinking about doing? That's when you get a true picture and you can make a really logical, educated decision. I want to thank Nick Smith, the Rebel Ninja, for joining us on the Quotivation Podcast. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring our Shot of Motivation. And I want to thank you because you were here and you heard Nick, you heard this powerful quote. The greatest risk is not taking one. That coming from Tim Fargo. So I hope this week you're able to identify those risks that you want to take and take those small steps to grow your comfort zone so that you can reach success. Thanks for listening. And until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at JodyPowellSpeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.